Mr. Chair, I can kick that off. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Secretary Roebling, John Kant, Terrestrial Section Chief for the Department. I'll go over the proposal sheet here in a minute, but if you don't mind, I'll let Andy Lindblom and Andrew Norton give you a quick presentation on where we're at with mutt lines in South Dakota.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone, members of the Commission, Secretary Roebling. I'm going to do some screen sharing here before I get going. I need to be able to screen share. Rachel, I'm not sure if you or Chris are running that.
No.
Aha. Getting there. Can you see the first slide now? How's that look? Can you see it now?
Yes.
Great, great. I can't tell on my end, so appreciate that. Yes, so for our listening audience, this is Andy Lindblom, Senior Big Game Biologist. And with me today, I also have Dr. Andrew Norton, who's a senior big game biologist, and we're both out of Rapid City. And today we're here to talk about mountain lion. So, we conduct several surveys and we evaluate several data sets in order to assess mountain lion abundance and population trend in South Dakota. And we're going to go over some of them today, obviously. We're going to talk about our observation reports. Our mortality data. We'll talk about our hunter harvest, of course, our mark recapture surveys where we get population estimates. And then we're going to wrap it all up and put all this together in our population models and talk about our current abundance and our future population. I'm just going to jump right into some of the data here and first talk about observation reports. From a management perspective, we're going to collect observation reports from the public, and we use that for different management purposes. But we also want to look at that and evaluate that for a trend as well. So here's what our observation data look like, dating back to all the way to 1995. And you can see, as the population was coming back in the early to mid-2000s, so did the number of reports. We had a lot of reports there. We peaked in about 2004 and 2005. And ever since then, the observation reports, at least the totals, have come down. Those reports that we can verify, we do verify, and that's signified by the red line there. And so you can see here we went down to about 2016-17, and then the reports came up a little bit. You can see a slight increase in the number of verified reports there of mountain lions in the state here. Now, these data are interesting, but I mean, there are some things we probably should discuss when we talk about observation reports. One assumption with these data is that our reporting rates are consistent, and we do feel that's a little bit problematic. There's some noise in that data, right? Because when lions were first coming back in the early 2000s, it was a novelty, and people, when they saw a lion, they're probably even more apt to report it. Whereas now, in some of these areas, people are used to seeing lions and probably a little less apt to report that. So we need to keep that in mind. So that's one confounding factor. But another one might be, the ring cameras we have. A lot of folks have a camera on their doorbell nowadays, and we've been seeing lots of pictures of lions outside of people's front doors, right? And that's probably attributed to the number of doorbell cameras out there. So just some things to keep in mind as we evaluate these observation trends. Another thing we look at is documented mortality. We look at, so here we have a graph dating all the way back to 2000. What we're showing here, the total number of mortalities, that's the tan bar or the brown bar. Not sure how it looks on your screen. And then we've broken that up into hunter harvest and non-harvest mortality. And we're going to talk about hunter harvest here in a minute. So let's just focus on total there. We peaked total documented mortalities here in 2011, 12, at over 100 Lyme mortality documented. Ever since then, the trend went down to about 2016, 2017, and then they came back up. And that's a pretty consistent trend along with our non-harvest mortality. So these are all mortalities that don't include harvest. Again, we peaked a little earlier there, about 2010, 2011. Decreased about 2016, 17. They came up, and in these last few years, we've been around that 20 non-harvest mortality. So a subset of these data, not completely independent, right, but a subset of these data that we like to keep track of as an agency are mountain lion removals. And so here again is looking at removals dating back to 2000, just focusing on all removals here, the green bars. Of course, we as an agency remove lions for depredation purposes or for human safety concerns, and the public in certain situations is also allowed to do that. So we do have those data broken up for you on the blue and red lines. But just looking at the trend here for total removals, again, kind of seeing similar trend here. We peaked in around 2009-10. Those removals decreased all the way to 2016-17, and we saw a jump back up in our removals. In this last couple of years, we've been slightly going down. This last year, we removed about 4 total lions, and the public removed looks like about 3. Now I want to jump into our hunting season data. So here's a table that's just looking at all the years since we started mountain lion hunting in 2005. That was our first season, all the way to this last year. And we have all the dates there, the harvest limits, when the season was closed, whether we met that harvest limit, and then we also have the season length. You can see, we kind of experimented at first. Get our feet wet and try some different things to see what works for us here in South Dakota. But we've been pretty consistent after a while here, beginning for about 2012. So about the last 10 seasons, we've started the lion season right after Christmas and went till the end of March. And then the last couple of years, the commission extended that season to the end of April. We've had a pretty consistent harvest limit for about 6 years now. 60 total lions or 40 females, and that makes interpretation of our harvest data much better. And we've closed the season for quite a few years here, the last 10 years, I believe, based on the date not meeting the harvest limit. And you can see here we've had about a 3-month season for a long time. In the last couple of years, we've had a 4-month season. So just a little bit of information. Like I said, 2 years ago, the commission extended the season to include April. We did see, I believe, 9 additional lions harvested in April that first year, and I think last year we saw 1. So we are seeing a little bit of extra harvest with that April season. I do have down there, we always want to talk about this, we have a harvest limit. We don't call it a quota here, and that's by intent. This isn't a number that we're trying to reach as biologists that we feel like we need to reach. It's a number that we don't want to go over, though. We don't believe our population could sustain more harvest than what our limit is. So some more information on our hunting seasons here. You can see here for licensed sales, we peaked out on licensed sales in 2012 and 13 at almost 5,000 licenses. We're about 4,600. And then since then, we've been around 3,000 plus licenses sold. You can see the harvest there for Black Hills and for Prairie. Last couple of years, we've harvested 51 and 48 lions total. This last year, that included 23 males and 25 females. We have the prairie harvest there, too. You can see the last 4 years, we've been around 10 or so lions harvested on the prairie. In 2015, 16, I believe that was the year the commission promulgated rules to allow the use of hounds on the prairie. We got 8 lions harvested that year. It did go back down, but then we've been at 10 or so lions since then. So looking at some of the harvest data for trends here, you can see here we have harvest in total harvest are the green graph or the green bars, and then we have it broken up into males and females, the blue and red lines respectively. You can see we peaked in total harvest again around 2011-12, similar time period to some of our other trend data shows. And since then, we've been going down all the way to 2018-19. We had a low harvest then, but these last 2 years, harvest has jumped back up. So you can see the total harvest there has been close to 50 both last 2 years. Just a little bit of information on males and females harvest. You can see the trend there. Nothing really alarming there, but we usually on average we harvest about 60% females and 40% males. So a little bit more on harvest. So we had over 3,000 people buy licenses last year, but not all of them hunted. Actually, only 38% of them actually hunted lions. And of those that hunted lions, about 3.3 of them were successful. 3.3% of them were successful in harvesting a lion. A little different in Custer State Park. 56% of the hunters actually hunted that had a license in Custer State Park. They harvested 9 lions. The success for boot hunters in Custer State Park was 0%. For hound hunters, it was 56%. Of course, much better success for those that hunt with hounds. And that's been obviously consistent for all the years that we've used hounds in Custer State Park. And you can see on that bottom chart there, we have harvest method, and this is just for CSP for both hounds and those folks that hunt only by foot. We haven't harvested a lion with our boot hunters, so to speak, since 2013-14. Another thing we look at with our harvest data is harvest per unit effort. So we know we had 39 lions harvested in the Black Hills, so this excludes CSP harvest that we just talked about. We sold about 3,200 licenses, only about 1,200 folks actually hunted. From our surveys, we know they spent about an average 7.1 days per hunter. So this equates to an average of 4.5 lions harvested per 1,000 days hunted. So we look at this over time to see if there's any apparent trends that might correlate well with the lion population. You can see here again, we peaked around that 2009-10 period. And since then, the harvest per unit effort has gone down to about 2018-19. Like we talked about, harvest came back up the last couple of years, and so did harvest per unit effort. Another thing we look at is harvest composition. So we're looking for trends in age, adults versus sub-adults in our population, and also in the adult female segment of our harvest. And so this graph here, the dark colors represent adults, and the lighter colors represent sub-adults. The red and the pink represents female lions, and the different shades of blue represent male lions. So just looking at the general trend of the dark colors, no real apparent trend that stands out for us. We did see an increase in the proportion of adults in the harvest in 2018-19, and that did come back down in these last couple of years. So we'll keep our eye on that. That keeps going down. That might be indicative of a lion population trend. But right now, nothing to really talk about. Another thing we looked at is the percent of the harvest that's comprised of adult females. There is some research in some western states that suggests the lion populations will begin to decline when the harvest is comprised of at least 25% adult female. You can see in South Dakota that may not be completely applicable. Looking at that red bar, we've been at 25-30% for most of our season. And we don't think those levels, at least what we see in South Dakota, those equate to, and this is kind of the assumption that equates to high harvest based on females. We're not convinced that probably equates to our data set very well. So it is what it is, but those are our harvest composition data. So now I want to talk about our DNA sampling. As most of you probably know, we use some houndsman teams every year. We go out the month before the lion season, and we sample as many lions as we possibly can. These guys are going sun up to sundown. And the goal is to tree as many lions. We shoot them with a biopsy dart. The dart hits the lion and falls out on the ground, and they get a little tissue sample. And with that tissue sample, we get DNA, and we can mark individuals. So we did this again this last year. We, if you can see from the map, we divided the hills up into six different areas. And we try to sample in all areas so we can represent lions in the entire hills as best we can. You can see the blue dots are where we obtain DNA samples prior to the season. And the red dots are where hunters harvested lions this last year. So pretty good overlap, and that's something we like to see. So this last year, we were able to obtain 68 DNA samples, 62 the year before, so good sampling effort. We send those samples off to a lab, a genetics lab, in Montana, and so the results came back, and we end up with 11 duplicates. If we do tree some lions twice, but we don't know it's the same lion, obviously. Two no samples and four lions were less than 1 year of age. So we removed those from the sample. We added one more sample, so to speak, to our sample from, we have one radio caller out there that's still active, so that gives us another sample. So our total samples this last year was 52 lions going into the season. So what's that equate to for a population estimate? So this is an estimate as of January 1st, 2021. We use a marker capture modified Lincoln-Peterson model. Again, we had 52 animals going into the season, and this provides us an estimate of adults and subadults. So here's our 52 animals that were available. We ended up harvesting 46 adults and subadults, so we had some animals that were less than a year in the harvest, and we exclude those in this analysis. We, of those 46 animals, eight of them were marked animals, animals we collected a DNA sample, so that results in a modified estimate of 277 adults and subadults. And like I mentioned before, we've done a lot of research in South Dakota. Maybe I didn't mention it, but we have done a lot of research in South Dakota. We've done at least four PhD students and a master's student that I can think of off the top of my head. We've studied survival and movements and home range. We have really good information on genetics and good information on recruitment and reproduction. And so we use those data to help us model lion populations. But in this situation, we have those data and we use those to estimate kittens because we don't have an estimate of kittens. So looking at previous research, we had a kitten estimate on top of that of 84, gives us a total lion estimate of about 360 animals. So just to summarize some of our survey data and some of the data sets that we just went over. So we have some data that would suggest lion populations are increasing, and we have some data that suggests they're decreasing. Just to go over a few of those points, harvest was up last couple of years. That would suggest an increase in population. But the harvest rates, the numbers we harvested, probably wouldn't be very sustainable for very many years, and that would decrease the population over time. Again, the human-caused lion mortalities that we've documented have increased the last couple of years, but again, those were probably above a stable threshold. Our population estimate was obviously up this last year for 2021, but it was down last year in 2020. So like we've talked about before, quite a bit of variability in that estimate. The precision isn't great, so we've got to be careful we don't run from, you know, with an estimate from year to year. We kind of look at it over time. But definitely something we need to consider. The harvest per unit effort that I talked about, that did trend up these last couple of years, which would suggest an increase in population. But we also look at catch per unit effort on our biopsy guarding efforts, and those were actually lower this last year, so a little conflicting data there. Our verified observations were trending up these last 4 years. We talked about some of the pros and cons of looking at those data sets. But our removals were lower this last year on a downward trend, so that was good from that perspective at least. So like we've talked about before, we don't like to look at just any one of these data sets and run with them. We try to look at them collectively as a whole. I've tried to do this here for you to show some conflicting data, but this is a good way to qualitatively evaluate all of the lion data, right? But we do have a way to quantitatively evaluate it. And this is where the population models come into play. We can put all these data into our integrated population model and better evaluate the current status of mountain lions and the future trends. And so with that, that's where Andrew's going to come into play here, and he's going to take it from here. So if I can turn it over to Andrew, I'll let you go from here.
Yeah, so as Andy said, First, good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the commission, Secretary Roebling. I'm Andrew Norton, senior big game biologist out of Rapid City, and I'll try to tie some of these data together as Andy clicks through these slides in a quantitative way. So we'll hopefully visualize some of what he had put down in that previous slide with the summary information. So Andy, if you could go forward. So I'll spend a little bit of time on this figure because the next several slides basically build upon this figure. So it'd be good to understand it right away. There's a lot going on. Start off with the bars at the bottom there. That's just a summary that Andy already went through of the harvest. The dark solid bars will be the female harvest, and then the light shaded bars will be the male harvest. So the total height is total lion harvest from 2010 to 2021. And you can see on the right-hand side, that scale and the vertical axis is for the harvest. For the last 2 years, you can see about 25 females were harvested, 28 in 2020, I believe, and 25 last year. And then putting that information all together, like Andy said, in that mark rate capture estimate, we get the black solid line, which that's going to be the extent of which is the population on the left-hand vertical axis, lion abundance from 0 to 800. You can see in red off to the right, 361 is that number that Andy just presented from our most recent population estimate, which would have been what the population was immediately before the hunting season this past year. You can see through time, there's a lot of noise in those data, and the gray shaded region is going to be the confidence intervals that we have on that to illustrate uncertainty. And you can see, especially in some of those years where we have an apparent spike in the population, there's a lot more uncertainty. So what we want to do is we want to not look at those population estimates independently, because we know lion population from 1 year to the next is tied together from several biological things such as survival and new births. So what we can do is account for the variation in each one of those estimates and then tie those population estimates together each year and smooth it in a statistical approach called a state space model. So Andy, if you click to the next slide, this would be a smooth estimate. And all this does is just takes that solid black line, accounts for the uncertainty every year, again, that shaded region in gray, and integrates that information together across time. So it says, for instance, in 2018, we got a really high estimate. Was the population really that high, especially considering the year before and the year after? It was way down. So it's very unlikely a predator population such as mountain lions would jump around like that. It's more likely it's stable. And what we're really seeing with that solid black line is sampling variation. So that can be explained. We know a coin is going to land 50% on heads, 50% on tails. If we flip that coin 1,000 times, we'd get pretty close to exactly 50%, maybe out to the 10,000th place. We'd have an estimate at 50%. But if we flip that coin only 10 times, you could see we could easily get 3 heads and 7 tails, or we could get 6 tails and 4 heads, and our estimate wouldn't be exactly 50%, even though we know that coin is 50-50. So that's probably almost exactly what's going on, especially in some of those years we have a really high estimate. What happens is we get a really low number of animals that come back that are harvested and marked in that previous December. And just a change in one or two animals can really significantly impact that. So, again, this red line is just kind of a smooth estimate across time. Andy, if you click to the next slide. Andy talked about a lot of other indices. Here I just add two more. Again, similar indices that he's talked to, but in the green dashed line, that's going to be our observations, which are scaled to kind of overlay a similar line as the population estimate. And as Andy said, you can see over the last few years, those have been increasing since about 2017, whereas the scaled removals in the purple or magenta dashed line look to have maybe gone up from 2017 to 18 and then kind of stabilized for a couple of years, but then this last year went down. So what we can do here is as Andy said, an integrated model, we actually quantitatively tie all this information together, and we can say, all right, we've got this smooth estimate in red, but we also want to account for the fact that we've got other indices that may suggest some other things and independently inform where that population is going. Andy, if you could click forward again. So here would be an fully integrated model with all of these data combined. And there's definitely going to be some subjectivity in this. For instance, how much weight do we put into those verified observations versus the scaled removals? Should we be integrating other data? But in general, this kind of gives a similar sense to what we're kind of seeing on the ground, where the population likely was decreasing for several years and then increasing. You can see we had some pretty low harvest between maybe 2015, went down all the way till 2019, and that's almost certainly going to result in what we expected here was an increase in abundance over the last few years. But then the last 2 years with this higher female harvest, we think that that's probably curbed the population growth. And in fact, after this last year, which I'll get into, might be seeing a decreasing population. Andy, if you could go to the next slide. So this is what we really want to see. I've presented this to the commission maybe half a dozen times already. So I'll try to go through it pretty quickly here since we're running low on time. But on the left side of this figure is going to be some of your lower survival rates, your lower kitten survival, lions dying from other causes. And then on the right-hand side, you're going to see higher survival. So obviously, if you see higher survival, you're going to see more of these blue arrows, meaning the population would increase, whereas on the left-hand side, you see some of the red and orange arrows saying the population would decrease. What we expect, based on the research that Andy briefly discussed, is right in the middle there, so the middle column, which is an average of the average. What we want to look at there is there's five squares stacked on top of each other, and the very bottom one would be 0% of the females harvested. If we don't harvest one female, we would expect the population to increase with that light blue single arrow. On the top, if we harvest 20% of the females, we're going to expect that population to decrease. So if you harvest one out of five females, we'd expect the population to decrease. And then somewhere in between 5 and 15%, we're probably going to have a stable population. So considering if we are at 361 lions right now, our objective is between 2 and 300, we probably want to try to reduce the population. So we want to get a little bit closer maybe to that 20% harvest. So Andy, if you could go to the next slide. So the figure on the left simply projects the population of 361 that we had at the very end of 2020 last year, beginning of the hunting season. And it says, okay, if we had 25 females harvested, where we are right now in 2021, we'd be still just over 300, the population objective. However, it is a decreasing population by about 7%. And the shaded region, again, here illustrate our uncertainty with that. So obviously with all of this, there's uncertainty and things could change environmentally and with the sampling, as I suggested earlier. But if we continued that 25 female harvest, we did the exact same thing we've done the past 2 years, we would expect the next time we meet in front of the commission in 2023, that population would be down within our population objective range at about 275 mountain lions. Alternatively, if we ramped that female harvest up to 40, which is close to that harvest limit Andy talked about, 2020 has already happened. We see the same projection to 2021 where we are now. However, you can see that line decreasing more substantially, and we might expect to actually shoot below the population objective of 200 to 300 if we were to harvest 40 female mountain lions every year. Again, that 28 harvest this past year equated to about 17.4% of the female population being harvested. And I believe that's all. Andy, you can click through the next slide as the questions. But thank you. Thanks for bearing with me with the technical glitch. But I appreciate you taking the time and would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Andrew. Questions? Mr. Spring.
I'll turn, what is the life expectancy of the lion as far as females, males?
Mr. Spring, that's a good question. I don't know if I have a really good answer for you. We know from past research, average survival varies quite a bit, but it's similar to some for an adult lion, similar to some of our hungrier populations. You could see 80-90% average adult survival. But yeah, I couldn't tell you what the average life expectancy of a lion in South Dakota would be, unless somebody else has got a better guess than I do.
I could just add to what he's talking about. You know, I think some of the older males that we've seen in the Black Hills are around that 8 to 10 years old, and then We've had some females that have broken 10 years. I think the oldest that we've aged is around 13 years old. And that's an estimate, of course, but give you some idea that we do have some cats at least living that long.
Mr. B.
Mr. B, sir. Andy, looking at the hunting summary, and when we started out in the seasons in 05, the male to female ratio of harvest, you know, they were all within one or two a year, and then the males dropped off being harvested, and you're harvesting way more females, and then dropped back down where there were less males, more females, but now we're back to being pretty much even on harvest males to females. And then on the prairie unit, it's always been males more than the females. What's going on there that makes that fluctuate like that?
Yeah, no, that's a good observation. So on the prairie, I think a lot of the lions that we have on the prairie are dispersers, right? And we see a high proportion of those subadult males dispersing out of the hills. So I think that would explain a lot of the harvest you see out there. Most of them are subadult males on the prairie. As far as the hills, I don't know if, again, we look at harvest compositions, if I've seen the alarming trends. We average about 6% female harvest, but like you pointed out, that does vary from year to year. It does look like the last few years we were more consistent or closer to 50-50. But again, I don't know if I can make a whole lot of that out of that. I mean, for the most part, it's opportunistic harvest, and I don't make any trend data out of that, I guess.
Further questions? So it would appear to me that you're basically forecasting a mountain lion population that is slowly being reduced.
Yeah, I think if I would try to sum it up really quick, we've had reduced harvest the previous, in recent history here, and we do believe that the low harvest we saw, and we saw that trend in harvest go down, and had some years with really low harvest rates. We believe that equated to a growing population. We believe the lion population grew after that. Again, like we talked about, the harvest that we received the last few years, particularly around the adult females, we do believe that those rates wouldn't be sustainable for very long, and those are going to bring our population back within our objective here.
Okay.
There's no more questions. Quickly run through the action sheet, Ben.
Okay. Or just a second, John.
I mean, just looking at the data here, it looks to me like 2012-2013 season, we had a 100-day-long season, and pretty much moving forward, but the last couple of years was a little longer, but similar number of hunters, 3,000 to 3,500, I think, or something. So it looks to me the hunting pressure has been pretty much even from 2012-2013, and yet the harvest seems to fluctuate with population, where it doesn't look like in retrospect that we would have needed to do any fine-tuning. I think it's just great that the population is, it can go up and go down depending on the conditions, and how probably more so than hunting pressure, I guess, is what I'm looking at. Your assessment as well? I mean, especially looking at that dip in 2016-17, we were able to recover to 2018-19, a pretty good harvest.
Yeah, I think I definitely agree with a lot of what you're talking about there. I think the system that we have with our harvest limit, we wouldn't want to reach the harvest limit very often because I don't think our population can sustain that. The system we have with bee hunters in the majority of the hills, I think that harvest is going to fluctuate a lot, like you talked about, with the population. As we get more lions, we're going to get a little bit of higher success from our bee hunters, and we get a higher harvest. And as the population goes down, we're going to get lower harvest. And so I think we're able to basically stay within our objective that we established and with the current system we have. So, yeah, I do. I do agree. It seems to be working well.
And if I could add to that, Mr. Chairman, that was a lot of the discussion we had when we revised the Mount Lyon management plan the last time and adjusted the population objective. We talked about that we felt like we were in a good spot with the participation and where the lion population was, and then adjusted that objective to kind of reflect that. And so far so good. We seem to be bouncing right within those bounds and working kind of like Andy and Commissioner Whitmire suggested.
All right, thank you. Secretary Rowland.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. Excellent presentation, Andy and Andrew. Appreciate it. I just had one question on, I guess, conditions of the season, weather conditions of the season that Harvest 300 effort really catches my attention. And just curious if we still quantify the snowfall events at different weather stations and how that might impact Harvest. It looks to me like conditions are pretty ideal. I know that's something we looked at in the past. Any insight on snowfall events?
First off, Secretary Rogan, you're not allowed to ask questions, right? But that's a good question because we look at those data, right? And you spend a lot of time looking at those data. So we have a lot of data and only so much time to go over it, but we're still quantifying that just to give you an idea. Last year, it's called an index, right? We look at certain weather stations across the hills. Last year we were at 81. The year before 116. The year before 112. The year before 132. So it's more than just snowfall. It's also, I think, lion abundance and participation and other factors. So tough to say it's a strong correlation, but we all know that snowfall helps blue hunters, and definitely we see increases in harvest on those weekends when we get the perfect snow. So we have the data, but it doesn't speak a whole lot, in my opinion.
Thank you, Andy. Appreciate it. Any further questions or comments? So essentially what the only change from last year is a cleanup in the state, it appears.
That would be correct, Mr. Chairman. When looking at rule, for whatever reason, there's two different dates in the rule when it talks about the Black Hills Fire Protection District. And so, the recommendation we have before you is really just to clean that up and make sure that all of the dates within that rule reflect the season dates for the Black Hills, which would be December 26th through April 30th. I did want to cover one more item, and I'll do that quickly because I know we're out of time. There has been some internal discussion on season dates and the confusion between the prairie season and the Black Hills season, which the confusion starts with the fact that we issue one license for the mountain lion season. There isn't a separate license for the prairie area and the Black Hills area. That one license is valid in the Black Hills from December 26th through April 30th, or if that harvest limit is met. But it's also valid in the rest of the state for the calendar year from December 26th through the end of the next year. So what you get is some overlap there with that license when the new season starts on December 26th, yet that old season, if someone hasn't harvested a lion already, runs through the end of the year. In rule, it simply states that we'll have a year-round season on mountain lions, but then also references an additional rule that talks about those season dates in the Black Hills Fire Protection District. And so what I'm telling you is that there's confusion amongst our public, our users, not understanding when December 15th comes and we start to issue out the new lion season licenses that start December 26th, yet we still have licenses out there that are for sale, and if someone had one in their pocket that runs at the end of the year that are not valid in the Black Hills for the new season, I think I'm demonstrating to you that there's some confusion there. So what we'd like to do is clean that up, and it wouldn't require rule change. It's simply what we'd like to do is say that the lion season, both in the Black Hills and outside, starts on December 26th. We'll retain the season dates for the Black Hills. That's in rule, December 26th through April 30th. But that additional lion season outside, we'd like to run it to December 25th. So what you'd end up with is a lion season from December 26th through December 25th of the following year, which would fit the current rule, and then we would obviously retain that current rule for the Black Hills season. That's September 26th through April 30th. And we believe that that takes the confusion out of the licenses and when folks can hunt and when they may need to buy a particular license. So I wanted to make the commission aware of that and certainly answer any questions about that or concerns. But then, yes, as we discussed, just the one recommended change to clean up the Black Hills season date rule.
All right, thank you. Any questions from the commission? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion for, to approve or deny the proposal. Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes. Thank you. With that, I think we will adjourn for the evening and re-adjourn at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. All right. Thank you, everybody.